All that matters is what I want and who will bow to me.
We will not bow, Lorenzo said.
We won't either,
Cole added. It's too foolish to be admirable, Romaro said. Your hearts are only beating because I allow it. I am exercising extreme patience. I am aware that as pathetic as you are, most others are even worse. Cole wondered if he could somehow get close enough to touch him. Romaro's smile returned. Cole, you wish to confront me directly?
None have ever so dared.
He motioned for him to approach. I see your friends believe you may be able to stop me. Shall we lay the matter to rest? By all means, come forward.
Let me take care of this pretender, Owendell said.
Are you capable of defeating this child? Romaro asked.
Owendell paused.
With your help, I...
Romaro shook his head.
With my sponsorship, anyone here could rule the outskirts unchallenged for a million years. I am not asking what you can do with my help.
Owendell bowed low.
Please afford me the opportunity to dispatch this foe.
You princesses remember Owendell, Romaro said. Was he this courageous when he stripped your powers?
We were chained up, Mira said. And he had a lot of guards.
Elegance,
Romaro said. I believe you and certain elements within this serpent were once acquainted.
I feel it, Elegance said.
Cole realized that without the weapons, his power was connected to nothing outside himself. He took a step toward Elegance.
No, Cole.
Come to me,
Romaro said. Cole faced Romaro. If the Torvor was willing, did this mean he had no chance? Was the Torvor playing mind games, trying to disrupt his confidence? Was it possible that Romaro was underestimating him? He started walking toward Romaro.
Your power is interesting, Cole, Romaro said.
Given the chance to mature and develop it, none here but me would be able to threaten you.
Cole wondered if this would be the end of his life. It seemed probable.
You interrupted my triumphant return, Romaro said. I had worked my way free, and you delayed me. Few could have accomplished it. Such a cheap, cruel trick. The Void was a clever prison, imperfect, but clever. Dwelling in the midst of nothingness, locked within a repeating moment, only I could have escaped it. I have half a mind to put you inside as your reward, let you hover in an endless stasis as your sanity unravels across the eons.
Cole stopped directly in front of Romaro, looking up. The Torvor was tall and terrifying. Romaro held out a hand.
Ready?
The nails looked sharp, so Cole grabbed his pale wrist. The jarring influx of power jolted Cole free from all physical sensation. Power was everywhere. It did not present as something separate. It was not contained. Cole struggled to retain his sense of self. The power blazed above him, below him, around him, within him. It was like he no longer existed. Only the power remained. Choosing his focus at random, Cole reached out blindly to touch the power, to connect, and raw shaping power sizzled through him. He crashed to the ground, dazed and suddenly detached from the flood of power that had engulfed him. He could not move.
On your feet,
Romaro ordered. That was but a glimpse. Cole discovered he could move again, but his body felt achy. He rose gingerly.
Allow me, great one. Owendell said. This urchin is unworthy of your attention.
I decide what merits my attention, Romaro said.
He held out a hand to Cole.
Would you care to try again?
Cole stared at the white hand, long fingers tipped with silvery talons. What was he supposed to do against so much power? It would be like trying to out-wrestle the ocean.
No, Cole said. A modicum of intelligence, Romaro said. Do you now see the futility of resistance? You have inherited a problem that cannot be solved. I am free. The attempts to contain me have failed. Why perish unnecessarily? Why doom those who stand with you? Submit and survive.
Cole shook his head. You offered this before. I might not be able to beat you, but I will not join you.
Romaro gazed at him.
Though it makes you more interesting, it is also disappointing. Defiance will not be tolerated. Our interactions are drawing to a close.
Wait, Lorenzo declared. He assumed an awkward stance and closed his eyes. The wayminders with him struck poses of their own.
What is this? Romaro asked. Not an attack! A demonstration!
A large round wayport opened, the edges swirling like an eddying mist.
We are the protectors of this world, Lorenzo declared. We may lack the might to defeat you in combat, but we can offer you an alternative.
He extended a hand toward the wayport.
This way leads to Earth, a larger, more firmly established world than this one. It has a far greater population and connects to a vast system of worlds and stars and space.
No! Cole cried, staring at Lorenzo in shocked disbelief. How could you?
Lorenzo turned a sad gaze his way.
I'm sorry, Cole. I know about Earth, Romaro said, stalking over to the wayport.
Take care, mighty one, Owendell advised. They are deceivers.
Romaro stopped at the mouth of the wayport, studying it.
This would indeed convey me to Earth, and permit me to remain there. And you hope it will trap me there.
We would prefer the outskirts to continue as it is, Lorenzo said.
And to this end you offer Cole's homeworld, Romaro said.
Cole was trying to think how he could stop Lorenzo. If he touched him and disrupted his power, would the pilgrim path close? How could he get near enough?
Romaro considered Cole. You fear for your world. You do not want me to go.
He regarded the wayport again.
There is no great complexity here. I could walk this path whenever I choose.
He looked at Lorenzo.
A brilliantly conceived prison in the Echolands could not hold me. Do you honestly believe an indifferent planet could?
Perhaps it would distract you, Lorenzo said. Amuse you.
Romaro waved an arm, and the wayport vanished.
I sense much at play here. I will sort out the specifics later. You weary me.
Owendell, do you still wish to engage Cole?
If it pleases you,
Owendell said, head bowed.
It does, Romaro said. Do not expect aid from me.
That will not be required, Owendell assured him.
Wait, Cole said. Are you leaving me unarmed?
If you believe yourself unarmed, you are far simpler than I expected, Romaro said.
Owendell, I want Cole defeated. Not killed, not maimed, not transported elsewhere. Any of those alternatives would mean you have failed me, with all that entails.
Owendell only hesitated for an instant.
Understood.
Mira appeared at Cole's right. Jace arrived at his left.
Cole was surprised. They didn't have weapons that let them leap there. They must have run.
If you fight Cole, you fight all of us, Mira said.
Spare Cole, Romaro ordered. Do with the others as you wish.
Paya,
Owendell said.
Get them.
The perennial serpent slithered forward, head rearing up, hood spreading wide.
We don't have weapons, Cole whispered. Back off!
Mira took Cole's hand.
I'm all we've got.
Cole felt the brightness of her power. Her shaping abilities were mostly untested in combat, but he knew she had a lot of raw strength. Maybe Sambrian shaping could help. He energized her with everything he had. Mira extended a hand, and the ground rippled in front of the snake. A bulbous section of earth arose and took shape, with a pair of crude arms and a trio of slender legs. It reminded Cole of a larger version of the mount Mira had tried to create when they were heading to Carthage from Sambria.
"The mud ball?" Jace cried incredulously.
Her impromptu creation toddled toward the snake and swung an arm, but Peya dodged the blow and came streaking at Cole and his friends. Cole ran left, Mira and Jace went right. The perennial serpent closed on Mira. Jace jumped in front of her when the serpent struck and disappeared. Cole screamed. The snake struck again and Mira vanished. Then the snake wheeled on Cole. He had no idea what to do. He tried to run as the snake approached, but within a moment it was encircling him, coils constricting. The thick body wrapped around him twice, pinning his arms to his sides and binding his legs together, immovable muscles clenching beneath smooth scales. Cole suspected the snake could crush his bones to dust if it desired.
"Will that suffice?"
Owendell asked. "Do yield, Cole?" Romaro asked lazily. Focusing on the physical contact with the serpent, Cole connected to its power. Peya's power was impressive, but unlike Romaro's, it was comprehensibly finite. Could Cole attack so much power directly? The nature of the energy reminded him of the power he had reignited in Elegance. Ribs creaking as he peered across the square, Cole saw Elegance watching. If only he could touch her, he could try to link her power to the snake. Keeping his connection to the perennial serpent, Cole concentrated on Elegance. Her power was there. He could sense it. Cole knew he could hold a connection without touching her. Why not make one? He had failed before, many times. Still, he tried reaching with his power, searching with his mind. He had a vague general sense of her power, but nothing he could actually reach. Cole remembered the dead center he had accessed when he re-energized her, the expired coal he had saturated until it flared to life. What about that? Where was that? Suddenly, he was no longer just searching for her power. He had a more specific target, a target he had not known existed. He was searching for her center, the heart of her power, the core. And he found it, throbbing in the midst of her power, small but intense. He had never noticed the core before. He had not known to look. Once found, it seemed more tangible than the rest of her power. If her power was light, this was the lantern. Connecting proved almost effortless.
"This is absurd," Owendell said. "Yield! Peya does not have to be gentle."
Peya had sent Twitch away, and Brogan, and Mira, and Jace. Cole reached into Peya with all he had and heaved her power at Elegance. The transference developed quickly, and suddenly he was not pushing power from the serpent to the princess. It was flowing on its own. The grip of the snake slackened, and then the serpent began to shrink. Cole felt the power gushing out of the snake as if a dam had burst.
"No!" Owendell cried. "Peya! Attack!"
The spasming serpent offered no reaction. Within moments it lay still, barely a foot in length. Cole no longer perceived any power in it. He ran toward Owendell. The robed man looked frightened.
"Stay back!"
he demanded. "All right," Cole said, reaching for him with his power. He had touched Owendell's power before. The center had to be in there somewhere. Finding it proved easier than expected. Knowing what to look for changed everything. Suddenly, Cole was connected.
"So much darkness, Owendell," Cole said.
"Should I brighten it up?" Mustering all his will, Cole burned away the darkness, untangling the knots and healing the scars. Dropping to his knees, Owendell screamed like he was on fire. When Cole finished, not much power remained within his foe, but it was untainted.
Impressive, Romaro said. You learn swiftly, Cole. I believe we have a victor.
No!
Owendell moaned, staggering to his feet.
I have served you faithfully. Rebuild me better than before. Empower me, Great One.
I will decide your fate later, Romaro said, waving a hand. Owendell vanished.
You are a problem, Cole, Romaro said.
You interest me, and you will not serve me. What is the answer, destruction, incarceration, torture? Perhaps I could use your friends to persuade you. Jace and Mira reappeared.
Mira! Cole exclaimed. Jace!
Whoa, Jace said. I wasn't expecting this.
Where were you?
Cole asked.
Not dead, Jace said. The wilderness, Mira said. The middle of nowhere. Not together, Jace said.
They were far away and back in time, Romaro said. Simple to retrieve. Equally simple to kill. Cole, serve me, or the girl dies. I mean now.
Don't even think about it, Cole, Mira demanded.
This is over, Romaro said. Nothing can stop me. Why not confront the inevitable with maturity? What good will be accomplished by losing your friends, by dying?
There is still Trillian, Mira said. He'll stop you.
Trillian will never have the chance, Romaro said. If you think the Founding Shapers could build a prison, you have seen nothing yet. Keeping him locked away will be as simple as subduing this absurd little world. Cole? Cole's throat was so dry that he gagged when he tried to swallow.
No,
he finally managed. Jay stepped in front of Mira.
You have to go through me first.
No, I don't, Romaro said as Mira fell to the ground. But I don't mind killing you as well. Cole, want to reconsider?
Never,
Cole said. Jace dropped limply, part of him covering Mira. Now, Cole, here's an offer, Romaro said. Last chance. Your world. Serve me, and I promise to leave your world alone for as long as you live. Choose death, and I will oblige, but you get no promise. Cole glanced numbly at his fallen friends. He had lost them twice now within a few minutes. This felt like the end. Had Romaro just offered to spare his world? Cole scowled. Could he let that opportunity pass? Wait, no. Romaro had offered to spare his world for as long as he lived. Under those terms, Romaro could just kill him and then attack Earth. Leave Earth alone forever, Cole said.
Promise that,
and we might have a deal.
You are in no position to bargain, Romaro seethed. My offer stands as spoken.
Maybe none of this was really happening. Did his choice even matter?
What?
Romaro asked.
How can this be a hypothetical future? It's not possible.
No, it could be feasible if they were clever enough. Cole, is this a hypothetical? You don't know. You're unsure. Just as you are unsure about the wayport they opened, the pilgrim path, as they term it. If this is a trick, you will pay dearly. You will all pay. Romaro turned to face Lorenzo.
Go!
Lorenzo called. Wayports appeared all over the square, including one beside Cole. He leaped into it. Chapter 27. New Course. It took a moment for Cole to absorb where he was. He had leaped into a wayport, no confusion there. But instead of coming out the other side of the wayport, he was inexplicably sitting at a polished metallic table with Jace, Mira, Violet, and Lorenzo in an underground vault. There was no wayport in sight. The transition was so seamless that it was disconcerting. He held a flask in his hand. It felt empty. Lorenzo studied Cole intently.
What did you feel?
No way, Cole said. I'm back.
Back from where? Jace asked. You just drank it.
No, Cole said. I drank it a long time ago. I've been busy. You all died.
All but Lorenzo.
And he was probably about to get killed.
You met Romaro?
Lorenzo asked. Cole nodded, looking around at his friends, fighting back tears.
I'm so happy to see you.
Mira leaned over and gave him a hug. He pulled her close and held her tightly.
I wish I could stop time, Cole said. So much is coming.
Are you all right?
Lorenzo asked.
Not really, Cole said. None of us are.
What did you learn? Lorenzo asked.
Cole pointed at him. You opened the pilgrim path, without permission. You invited Romaro to Earth.
He didn't go?
Lorenzo asked. Cole shook his head. I think he sensed it was a trap. But we had a deal. You weren't going to risk Earth unless we were sure.
Lorenzo sighed. I need to come clean. I was conducting an experiment.
With the fate of Earth? Cole asked.
No, Lorenzo said. I told you I wasn't sure if the potion worked.
Yeah? Cole said. Torvors read minds, Lorenzo said. I knew the potion would work. I don't remember what I did in the future you experienced, but I know my plan. There were certain things I needed you to believe in order to conduct my experiment. If you were certain you were in a hypothetical future, Romaro might have sensed it.
He sensed I wasn't sure toward the end, Cole said. He was mad.
He would have been mad, Lorenzo said.
At that point, he suspected we were gathering information.
I'm sorry he didn't walk the pilgrim path.
You were checking what would happen, Cole said.
Our last best chance to check was getting Romaro to walk the path in the possible future you visited, Lorenzo said. Had he walked it, I would have collected what information I could and reported to you. But the attempt failed.
I don't know what Romaro sensed, Cole said. But he knew we were up to something with the pilgrim path. I was really worried. I thought you were risking Earth.
None of that was permanent, Lorenzo said.
No matter what happened, it was going to be erased when you returned to this moment, and now you've returned.
So we need a new plan.
We all died? Mira asked.
You and Jace, for sure, Cole said. Jace gave his life for you, by the way. Zero hesitation. Mira gave Jace a tender stare.
Thank you.
For failing?
Jace asked.
We died. The goal is to keep you alive.
I died too?
Violet asked.
You maybe died, Cole said, when we kidnapped the governor.
Jace whistled.
You were busy.
You kidnapped Governor Vass?
Lorenzo asked.
We found out where Owendell is holding the king and queen, Cole said.
Really?
Mira exclaimed. Where?
Cole paused.
Good question. Oh no.
I know this.
It's some fort in Sambria with lots of enforcers. An island or something.
The island keep?
Violet asked.
Yes! Cole shouted with relief. Thank you, the island keep. I would have felt so stupid if I'd forgotten.
I may have teased you a lot, Jay said.
You don't know if I died?
Violet asked. The perennial serpent showed up and attacked us as we questioned Vass, Cole said. It's named Pea. Of course, I forget the keep, but remember that. The snake got Brogan.
We made him young?
Mira asked.
Yes, and he was awesome.
Cole said. But the serpent bit him, and he vanished like Twitch. You and Jace got bitten later. You vanished, but Romaro brought you back.
Then killed us, Jace said.
He's a jerk, Cole said.
Where did we go? Mira asked.
You told me you were in the wilderness, Cole said. Romaro mentioned you were also back in time.
So Twitch is probably alive, Mira said.
Pretty good chance he is alive, back in time in the wilderness, Cole said.
Which means he probably died a long time ago, Jace said.
Not likely, Lorenzo said, unless the serpent found a way to keep him permanently back in time.
I'm still not clear what happened to me, Violet said.
I was getting there, Cole said. When Brogan got bitten, you opened a wayport for us to escape. Jace and I went through, but the wayport closed before you joined us.
We left her? Jace asked.
Not on purpose, Cole said. Things went bad fast. You were kind of pushy about it, Jace. You wanted to make sure I faced Romaro.
Because I'm good in a crisis, Jace said, except for getting killed with Mira.
Maybe I closed it on purpose, Violet said, to make sure you got away.
Would you do that?
Jace asked.
I think so, Violet said. Or it could have closed if I got killed. Or if the snake tampered with my powers.
Or Owendell, Cole said. He can mess with powers.
Owendell was there?
Mira asked.
I think so, Cole said. With Peya.
He kept his face covered that time. I think he is the Ancient One. He showed up at the Far North Cache with the same robes when the serpent appeared. We stopped the snake and beat him, by the way, before Romaro got us.
But Mira and I got bitten, Jace said.
Yeah, Cole said. I stopped the snake, if you want to be specific, with help from Elegance. I connected the serpent's powers to hers, and the rest was automatic. Oh, I can connect without touching now. Cole focused on Violet, found her center and connected to her power. He shared energy with her.
I feel it,
Violet said. Cole turned to Lorenzo. Why didn't you tell me? I just had to reach for the center.
The center? Lorenzo asked.
Of their power, Cole said. The core, to connect. Lorenzo gave a little shrug.
You're teaching me now.
I don't know how to connect the power of another. I've never felt another center of power.
Well, that's the trick, Cole said. If you can find the center, you can connect.
What about Romaro?
Jace asked. Can we beat him this time?
Cole sighed. I don't know, guys. It looks bad.
Really?
Mira asked. He let me touch him so I could try to attack his power, Cole said.
It was like nothing I've ever felt. I had no idea where to begin. His power was everywhere.
And we can't send him to Earth, Jace said.
I'm not sure he would go, Cole said. And no way can we risk it unless we're sure it will strip his powers.
What else did you learn? Lorenzo asked. What should we do?
I learned we're in huge trouble, Cole said. We need to take every risk possible if it might help. I learned if we do the same thing we did last time, Romaro wins.
Did Romaro kill you?
Lorenzo asked.
Nope, Cole said. Last minute you opened a ton of wayports. I entered the nearest.
That was my plan, Lorenzo said.
A plan I may never actually carry out now. If it turned ugly enough, I was going to use the local conduits to open a bunch of wayports, hopefully enough to temporarily distract Romaro. Were other wayminders with me?
Two, Cole said.
Probably the two I have in mind, Lorenzo said. Grand Shapers. Anyhow, the wayport nearest you led out of Creon. By going to it, you came directly back to this moment.
Yes, Cole said. I went in, but I didn't come out. I just showed up here, as if none of it happened.
It didn't happen, Lorenzo said, even though you remember it.
With all of you here, it's like telling about a dream,
Cole said.
What's the plan? Jace asked.
You and Mira should go to the Iron Fort and give the youth potion to Brogan, Cole said. That was a brilliant call. Could you take them, Lorenzo?
I can take them to the tent before seeking out my associates, Lorenzo said. Where will you be?
Last time I couldn't leave Creon, Cole said. I need Violet to help me make some visits. The first is the riskiest.
I need to talk to Trillian.
Is that wise? Lorenzo asked.
For sure it isn't safe, Cole said, but I think it might be necessary. We need all the help we can get to beat Romaro.
Do you think Trillian will betray his own kind? Mira asked.
He might, Cole said. Mostly because you're really smart. Something you said in the possible future.
Look, I know it's risky. I know I might not return. But without help, I know we lose. Nobody can help us like Trillian can. It's worth a shot. And time is short. Romaro shows up tomorrow morning.
That soon?
Lorenzo asked.
Count on it, Cole said.
The sun was not very high in the sky.
Are you up for it, Violet?
Why not?
Violet said.
You won't remember most of what happened here when you leave Creon, Lorenzo warned.
Hopefully when I show up at the Lost Palace, I'll get the general idea, Cole said. Sit tight at the Iron Fort until I get back. I'll try not to take too long. And if I don't come back, I'm so sorry.
Do you know where we're going, Violet?
A wayport opened. Chapter 28. Torivore. The sight of the Lost Palace filled Cole with dread. Despite the moonless night, a greenish radiance glowed from the sickly mist eddying across the uneven grounds, all enclosed by a tall fence fanged with barbed spikes. Sagging walls and spindly towers rose out of the luminous haze like the charred skeleton of a castle. Cole remembered all too well who lived there. Contact with Trillian was strictly forbidden for good reason. He turned visitors into puppets. Many who entered his domain never left. Those who did served the Torivore with fanatical devotion. Cole had barely survived his previous encounter. Cole and Violet stood on the red road near a wayport. Though surrounded by wilderness, the perfectly maintained avenue stretched behind them to the limits of sight. Ahead, the gate stood open.
Are you sure this is where we want to be? Violet asked.
No, Cole said. His memories from before he emerged from the wayport were cloudy.
I don't like the open gate, Violet said. Feels like a trap.
It's definitely a trap. Nobody should go in there unless they must. But we're probably here on purpose. We came straight from Creon. You opened the wayport? The wayport wavered.
Yes, it's mine. Are we really so desperate that we're going to Trillian?
We could go back and check, but we won't remember when we return, Cole said.
We'll remember this moment, Violet said. If we come back again, it can be a signal that you really want to talk to Trillian.
Cole stepped through the wayport, and Violet followed. They stood inside the metallic vault. It was empty. Cole remembered his previous experiences, the possible future he had experienced, his return to his friends, and his decision to visit Trillian. And he recalled going to the Lost Palace and feeling completely confused.
We want to do this, Cole said, stepping through the wayport.
Violet came through as well.
We're back, Cole said.
I guess this means we need Trillian. The wayport vanished.
Should I come in with you? Violet asked.
Could you help me teleport out in an emergency? Cole asked. Violet held out her hand. Cole took it, connected to her power, and fed her energy.
It's heavily shielded, Violet said. Like, completely. I can't see anything inside there using my power.
Don't trust your eyes, Cole said. Trillian can manipulate reality. It's hard to tell what is real in there.
I'm not sure if a way out is shielded, Violet said. Sometimes you can see out of places that block you from looking in.
Up to you, Cole said. I don't mind if you wait here.
I'll come, Violet said, straightening her robes.
I want to see how it goes. Help however I can.
Then come on, Cole said, leading her through the open gate.
The instant Cole passed the gate, the palace transformed. The castle became a gleaming monument to ingenuity and imagination, miraculously crafted out of pearl and platinum, reflecting warm light from the radiant crystals artfully arranged across the stylish grounds. The colors appeared more rich and vibrant than natural limits should permit, as if Cole had worn a dulling filter over his eyes since birth, and it had finally been removed. The luxurious red of the road before them reduced all other reds to half-hearted attempts at pink.
It's beautiful, Violet said.
Bait for the trap, Cole said. A woman approached astride a broad, powerful stallion. She had hair like cascades of molten silver and possessed inhumanly flawless beauty.
Hi, Henna, Cole said. We need to see Trillian.
We are intrigued by your visit, Henna said. Come with me to the palace.
It's an emergency, Cole said. The faster the better. Henna snapped her fingers and a pair of saddled horses galloped up to Cole and Violet. Cole swung up onto the black one. Violet mounted the white. Cole glanced over at Violet as they rode. She looked nervous and amazed, her hair fluttering in the wind of their speed.
Graceful steps flowed down from the mirrored palace doors. They dismounted at the base of the stairs, and Henna led the ascent. Though there was no hurry evident in her fluid strides, Cole had to jog to keep up.
We'll go to sleep, Cole told Violet. Trillian will talk to us in a dream.
Violet held out her hand. Cole took it and energized her power. Violet furrowed her brow and shook her head.
I can't open a wayport here, she whispered.
No need to whisper, Henna remarked offhandedly. He hears your thoughts.
They passed through the mirrored doors into a gleaming white hallway decorated with luminous crystals. Henna led them up a sweeping staircase, then invited Violet into a room.
Alone?
Violet asked.
We'll meet in our dreams, Cole assured her. The door closed. A few more steps and Cole received a room of his own. He went straight to the bed and tried to relax. It was not difficult. No beds were this comfortable. Not home, not anywhere. Soon he stood on a deserted beach, feet buried in the soft, warm sand. A cloud currently hid the sun, but most of the sky was a clear blue. Large waves reared up high before curling and crashing in a foamy tumble. The absence of civilization, together with the tropical air and the ferny shrubs behind him, suggested he might be on an island. Cole looked around for company. Nobody yet. He crouched and sifted a handful of fine-grained sand through his fingers. Warm, not hot. Like the air. Ideal. Soothing. Like the bed. This was a dream.
More than a dream, a voice said behind him.
Cole turned to find Trillian where he had not been a moment before. An ageless man whose features hinted at mixed ethnicities. Trillian wore a loose golden robe with fur at the collar and at the ends of the sleeves. Light suffused his skin as if his insides were glowing.
Hello, Cole said.
I expected you would return, Trillian said.
Yeah? Cole asked.
If you lived, I knew you would eventually realize you were really fighting Romaro. I did not believe you would submit to him, and if you wanted a chance to triumph, it would lead you back here.
I guess you were right, Cole said.
May I have full access to your mind?
Trillian asked.
What does that mean? I'm not asking for control or even influence, Trillian said. Just complete access to your memories.
I thought you could read minds, Cole said.
I can see more with permission,
Trillian said. Quicker results, less guesswork. You've been in Creon. Some of your memories are shielded. I can access them for both of us, with permission. Cole stared as the frothy aftermath of a wave spread flat over the sand. He was here. It was already a huge risk. He might as well get all the help he could. Go ahead. A hand softly touched the back of his neck.
Ah, yes, Trillian said. You have visited a simulation of the future. I see why you came to me. Let me help you recall.
The events in Creon awoke in Cole's mind as if they had never left.
I remember now, Cole said. No wonder I came here.
Romara was going to keep you locked up. He admitted it to Mira. Trillian stood before Cole and studied him.
I suspected Romara would not be faithful to me, given the chance. But knowing is different from suspecting.
Different enough to help me? Cole asked.
Yes, Trillian said. I predicted you would become embroiled in the events surrounding Romaro. I did not realize you would be at the center. And I did not realize you would come to understand your power so rapidly. The events in the Echo Lands accelerated the process.
Can I defeat him? Cole asked. In a direct contest? Not with all the aid I could offer.
Is there a way?
You explored an intriguing possibility. Drawing Romaro to my world? I believe Lorenzo and Kendo were right, Trillian said. I believe a Torivore would be rendered powerless if he followed the pilgrim path to Earth.
Can you be sure? Cole asked.
I am nearly convinced already. I can see the nature of your world through your memories. I know what happened to Kendo Ratan after he walked the path. I must confess it warms my heart to witness him powerless. After all, he did help imprison me here. His conditions suggest that many of the principles of power that function in the outskirts do not function in your world. Torivores are eternal beings. We are suited to eternal places. Your world is much more firmly rooted in time than the outskirts. Here, time is more of an imitation. Still, to be absolutely sure, I would need to investigate.
Could you investigate from here? Cole asked. If Violet lets me borrow her power, I can replicate a pilgrim path, Trillian said. Now that I understand the possibility, it should not be difficult.
The exercise will let me see into your world. I could not walk the path any more than I can leave my castle grounds. I am bound here.
Cole folded his arms and scrunched his toes in the sand. You can see my worries.
Sometimes I prefer a conversation, Trillian said.
How do I know you're telling the truth? Cole said. I know Torivores supposedly can't lie. What if it's not true? And if you borrow Violet's power, you will escape and destroy my entire world. What if you lie about what you see and Romaro destroys my world?
You want certainty that a Torivore cannot lie, Trillian said. I understand why. Has anyone ever contradicted this idea?
No. People seem to believe it, Cole said.
But what if you're waiting for the crucial moment to tell the perfect lie?
I can mislead, Trillian said. But if I truly lie, my powers will unravel. The control I exert over my surroundings is a reflection of my sincerity, my wholeness of purpose. Torivores are not perfect. If we were perfect, I would work in complete harmony with Romaro. He is not perfect either. But Torivores are unconflicted. He never pledged total loyalty to me, nor I to him. We leave unpleasant matters unresolved. We do not lie about them. We are utterly true to ourselves and to our word.
What if you're lying now? Cole asked.
Some examples from your life will help you glimpse the principle, Trillian said. In the Echo Lands, you were tempted with the opportunity to go home.
Could you have resisted that temptation if you did not sincerely want to save your friends?
I don't think so, Cole answered.
When you fell into the slipstream in the Echolands, could you have survived if your desire to rescue your friends was false? Could you have resisted the sweeping force of the slipstream and the bountiful summons of the home song?
Cole remembered that arduous moment as the slipstream stripped the impurities from his power. He could have let go and zoomed into the beckoning afterlife of the other. But he still had work to accomplish, unfinished business. He had needed to save his friends.
No, Cole said. Heed me, Cole, Trillian said. I experience that moment in your mind as vividly as if I had lived it. If I heard the summons of the home song as you did under those conditions, I would have advanced into the next world. As a caveat, I am not sure that I would have heard the same music you did. I may not have a separate essence, as you do. What I seem to be may be all I am. To die in time could be the true end of a Torvor. But if I heard that song calling me onward to a superior eternity, I am not sure what desire would be strong enough to anchor me to this one.
You're saying the slipstream worked like a lie detector, Cole said.
Among other things, the slipstream proved the sincerity of your desire to save your friends, Trillian said. Insincerity would not have survived the slipstream. And with a Torvor, the power that allows us to bend reality to our wills derives from our integrity. Knowing what I know, being who I am, to lie would be to lose the source of my power. To lie is not enticing. There is no urge to resist. In fact, if for some reason I did not care what it would do to me, and I wanted to lie with all my heart, I do not believe it would be possible.
That explanation is not proof, Cole said.
Many things that are real cannot be directly proven, Trillian said. Yet there is evidence, and there is reason. Much that cannot be proven can still be discovered and relied upon.
But can I risk my world? Cole asked.
Search your memories, Trillian said. Your world is already at risk. If Wayminders can devise a pilgrim path to your world, so can Romaro. You know this. You watched him figure it out. Romaro will find a way to Earth with or without your involvement. He would likely subjugate the outskirts first, perhaps even reduce it to ashes, depending on his desire for vengeance. But if luring Romaro to Earth could undo him, why not attempt it at the start? Why not give the outskirts a chance?
Can you bring Violet here? Cole asked.
She appeared beside Cole.
Welcome, Violet, Trillian said. We have been talking elsewhere, Cole.
Should I let him use my power to see Earth? Violet asked.
Give me a minute, Cole said, walking away a few paces, enjoying the sand against his bare feet. His situation was desperate. Without help, Romaro would take over the outskirts. If Lorenzo had not opened the pilgrim path, would Romaro have discovered it? Certainly not so quickly. Would he eventually discover it? Seemed likely. Cole took a deep breath of salty air. Did he believe that Trillian could not lie? He did. But if he was wrong, the consequences could be catastrophic.
You promise you won't enter my world if you use Violet's power to peek at it? Cole said.
You promise you won't even try to go there?
You have my word, Trillian said. I cannot break it.
Okay, Cole said. How does this work?
Connect me to Violet's power, Trillian said. I'm impressed you learned to reach for the Nexus. I could have taught you, but you realized on your own.
The Nexus is the center? Cole asked.
Yes, Trillian said.
Can I reach your Nexus? Cole asked.
I created a Nexus in this version of me,
Trillian said, placing a hand over his heart. It will suffice. Cole connected to Violet with no problem. Finding the center of the power in Trillian was not complicated either. It didn't feel like the immeasurable ocean of power inside Romaro. It had boundaries. Romaro felt different, Cole said.
You met Romaro in person, Trillian said. This is a limited version of myself designed to interact with you.
Cole connected Violet to Trillian. A huge round wayport opened, the edges hazy.
I need to send someone through the pilgrim path, Trillian said. Not you or Violet. You would not be able to return. But if a servant connected to my power goes through, I should be able to feel exactly how going to Earth would affect my power. Any objections?
Your servant would be stuck there? Cole asked.
Cut off from me and from this realm, Trillian said. That is the nature of the pilgrim path.
Cole supposed that going to Earth would be better than staying Trillian's servant.
Do it.
A man appeared on the bench. He was tall and muscular, with a closely trimmed brown beard that followed his jawline.
Fenril, I need you to venture to another world, Trillian said. A world without shaping. You will not be able to return, but your adventure will provide information that I need.
You are releasing me from your service?
Fenril asked, unexcited.
This great and useful deed will end your service to me, yes, Trillian said. You will build a new life in a world full of opportunities and conveniences. I trust you will do well.
Fenril bowed.
It has been an honor.
Farewell, Fenril, Trillian said.
Fenril stepped into the wayport. Unlike other wayports, he did not immediately vanish. He proceeded down it like a tunnel until he faded from view. Trillian turned to Cole.
We are in what you would consider a dream state. The actual path I opened was on the Red Road. Fenril's actual body passed into it there. I have lost all contact with him, but not before I got the briefest of glimpses. Your world would utterly strip a Torvor of his powers. My only question is whether a Torvor would survive.
You're sure? Cole asked. The pilgrim path closed.
Romaro would be rendered powerless by going to Earth, Trillian said. As would I. No doubt.
Cole let the connections to Violet and Trillian drop. He watched a curl progress along a breaking wave.
So there's a chance.
Last time he didn't want to go.
Too many people present were hoping for him to go, Trillian said. Lorenzo and his colleagues wanted it, and though you were conflicted, you also knew Romaro might be rendered powerless. He sensed the trap.
And now I know for sure that the path will strip his powers, Cole said. He'll see it in my mind. Besides, if you can figure out Romaro would lose his powers, so can he.
Perhaps he could be persuaded otherwise, Trillian said.
How?
Cole asked. You must understand your foe, Trillian said. In our native realm, Torvors are held in check by one another. We have rulers, but no dictators. Romaro left home to explore and to rule.
You had the same reasons? Cole asked.
More or less, Trillian said. Romaro views himself as superior to all life he has encountered beyond our home realm. He wants to bend everyone he encounters to his will. If you bow to him, you become largely irrelevant, invisible. He is intrigued by those who defy him.
I defied him, Cole said.
I'm aware, Trillian said. Torvors can read minds, but we cannot see all. Memories are hard to reach unless they are on the main stage of the mind. Your present thoughts are the most vulnerable. We can perceive those as if you are speaking them to us. We will sometimes ask questions to bring thoughts to the foreground. We can deduce and assume much from only a little information. There are patterns.
I have to try not to think about it? Cole asked.
Do not think of a large red lion,
Trillian suggested.
It's all I'm thinking about, Cole said.
You will not succeed in hiding your thoughts about the Pilgrim Path, Trillian said. Not on your own.
You can help? Cole asked.
With your permission, Trillian said. I can hide some memories. I can create new realities in your mind. You will believe them, and I expect Romaro will too.
Why do you need my permission? Cole asked.
Your will is sovereign, Trillian said. Your will belongs to you. Others can complicate your circumstances and reduce your options. You can be tricked, abused, intimidated, jailed, and enslaved. But your will, your core self, what you know, who you choose to be, your identity, is yours alone. It can be influenced, it can be surrendered, but not taken.
What would you make me believe? Cole asked.
You would believe that the Pilgrim Path was a temporary opportunity, Trillian said. Only an option for a very limited time. You would feel sure that the Wayminders wanted to sacrifice Earth to save the outskirts. And you would believe you had proof that access to Earth would simply allow Romaro to rule both worlds. You would think you had proof the Wayminders were utterly mistaken in their hopes. It would feel real to you. It would be extremely frightening. And it might mislead Romaro.
Wouldn't that be lying? Cole asked.
I would help you believe what you tell me you want to believe, Trillian said. That is not lying. That is executing instructions with permission. Any lies would come from you.
It could mislead Romaro, Cole said.
I mislead frequently, Trillian said. But I mean every word I say.
Are you misleading me now? Cole asked.
You don't know all my motives, Trillian said, but I am telling you the truth.
Won't Romaro see other things in other minds? Cole asked.
We would need to adjust Violet's mind as well, Trillian said. The other minds have no certainty. They will appear conflicted. Romaro would have to see very deeply, very quickly. Think of him surrounded by many books. He has the ability to read them, but not the time and perhaps not the desire. He has abundant confidence. The things you believe will shout at him, while other minds are uncertain. It could work.
And if it fails?
Cole asked.
You will miss your best opportunity for victory, Trillian said. At least it grants an opportunity.
You want to see him fail? Cole asked.
It simplifies matters for me, Trillian said. He would be my only real rival if I ever get free. I knew I did not have his loyalty. After viewing your memories, I know he considers me an enemy. He would kill me if he could.
But you came here together, Cole said. Without ever having dwelled in time, Trillian said. Without ever risking death. Without ever having weaker beings to dominate. The relationship quickly became complicated and unstable. We had no time for it to play out before we were imprisoned.
You could have dominated your children, Violet said. Back home, if you needed to rule somebody.
No, Violet, Trillian said. Torvors are eternal. We never began. There are no children in our home realm.
How can you never begin? Cole asked.
Time has beginnings and endings, Trillian said. Eternity either exists or it doesn't. Only that which is eternal truly exists. You exist. This state is temporary, but your essence is eternal.
Isn't this temporary for you? Cole asked.
I am eternal, Trillian said. I never had to worry about death. However, when I entered a realm vulnerable to time, I entered a temporary state. My time in the outskirts began, meaning it will also end. Entering time also made me vulnerable to death. If I die,
Having come here as an eternal being, will I go elsewhere? This is untested, unknown. I may be risking not just a temporary life, but my entire existence.